The second thing that you need to, the second way you need to respond to someone who is absolutely uninterested in Jesus is you simply need to pray for them. The gospel writer Luke records an interesting statement about Jesus in Luke chapter 23 as Jesus is hanging on the cross. You've all heard of the seven last words of Jesus. This may have been the first thing he said on the cross. If you look at lists of the last statements of Jesus, it's either listed as number one or sometimes number two. In Luke chapter 23, 34, and as far as I know, Luke is the only gospel writer who records this, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Who was Jesus praying for? Well, most commentators will tell you that he was praying for both the soldiers who had crucified him and for the religious leaders who had betrayed him. And he prays that God will forgive them. But if you look at the context of that statement in Luke 27, both the verses prior to that statement and the verses that follow that statement, they are only about the Roman soldiers. It's more likely that he was praying for the Roman soldiers who have crucified him. Here's how one writer portrayed the scene at the cross. The scene around the cross is crass and unfeeling. The soldiers are part of an execution detail, bored with execution. Let me insert, because they executed so many Jews. Perhaps this team will have conducted several crucifixions this week already. The first time they saw a crucifixion, they may have been moved by its brutality, but now they are callous, emotionless. First, the soldiers begin with the cruel process of nailing the criminal to a cross, then hoisting him up, the cross swaying forward, then back until it's secured with wedges at the bottom to hold it upright in the hole. And when that task is done, they sit around the base waiting for the criminal to die, sometimes for days. To pass the time, they gamble, deciding by a casting of lots who will be awarded the victim's last possession. That is the scene. But in the midst of it comes an astounding, powerful word from the, quote, criminal on the center cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." In his last dying hours, Jesus prayed for those who so brutally and callously, who had no interest in who he was, just another nameless criminal to them, to those who crucified him, he prayed and asked forgiveness. And that's the pattern that Jesus wants us to follow. When you know of someone who has no interest in Jesus, either because they have never heard who Jesus is, or they don't care who Jesus is, you need not only to live Jesus in front of them, but you need to be in prayer for them. If Jesus, in his last agonizing, dying hours, moments, can pray for those who have so brutally abused his body, if he can pray for them, we can pray for those who have no interest in Jesus. The third thing that I would say to you is, remember that it's God's work. You see, salvation is about what God does, not what we do. We need to tell people, but we are not responsible for their response. It is God who calls people to salvation. It is God who changes hearts and lives. John the Apostle wrote in his Gospel, chapter 6, "No one can come to me," Jesus is speaking now, "no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Our work is to tell people about Jesus. It is God's work to draw people to Jesus. Even when people seem uninterested in Jesus, you need to remember it's not what you do that will result in their salvation. It's what God will do. It's not what you say that will give them eternal life. It's what God does in their hearts and in their lives that will give them eternal life. Don't become discouraged. Don't give up. Remember, it's God's work, not our work. And then fourthly, realize that some will respond. I rather imagine it was quite a few. Some would have been involved in the actual act of crucifying the criminal, but because Jerusalem was such a volatile area, and a crucifixion could be a very volatile event, there were undoubtedly many others who guarded against the possibility of a crowd becoming violent. The folks here at Schuylkill Valley know that I just returned from Haiti. Tomorrow will be 2 weeks. And while I was there, there was a very violent event. It started off as a peaceful march to get the attention of the government that their food prices, when they could get food, were very high. Fuel, when you could get it, was very high. There was no security in especially the capital city. People couldn't go there to sell their things and come back safely. And they were marching simply to get the attention of the government, asking them to do something. Whenever you get a group together like that, there will always be some who will try to take over the event. And there were. And what turned into a march of several thousand people very quickly became violent, and several hundred people pushed their way into the airport, which is a small airport, only one plane on the ground, and someone claimed it belonged to a politician. That's who they were marching against, the politicians, and they took the plane, they pushed it through a chain link fence, and they lit it on fire, and they burned it. It didn't take a lot to get that crowd moving in the wrong direction. The police were afraid to get involved. They stood back and did nothing. There's another group of law enforcement in Haiti which deals primarily with drugs. And they're sort of a SWAT team. And they came in with guns blazing, shooting blanks. A few people got shot and killed, and yet they could not change the crowd. It takes more than a few to change a crowd from this direction and disperse them in other directions. It would have been the same in Rome. My guess is that there would have been dozens upon dozens of Roman soldiers on call at any crucifixion, just in case it became violent. Most of them were just there doing their job. Too busy doing their job to pay any attention to Jesus. Even as he spoke from the cross, they didn't hear his words. They didn't respond to his words. His words of forgiveness, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His words of salvation to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. His words of tender care, woman, behold your son. His words of abandonment, my God, why have you forsaken me? His words of suffering, I thirst. His words of triumph, it is finished. Not just his death, but the requirement for salvation has been met. The perfect sacrifice has been given. His words of commitment, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. None of his words penetrated their hearts. Sometimes when you are dealing with people who have no interest in Jesus, you might feel like no one is listening to your words. You might feel like your words are proverbially going in one ear and coming out the other. But you need to realize that some will respond. Let me read to you from Luke's account, Luke chapter 23, verse 47. When the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Let me tell you how Mark records it. The centurion said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." You didn't get to be a centurion, a leader of 100, by being a wimp, by being a mama's boy. Centurions were hardened soldiers. They were the hardest of the hard. He had no doubt supervised dozens, if not hundreds, of crucifixions. Nothing moved this man until he saw Jesus. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Was that a statement of faith? Many Bible commentators believe that it was. One said, "The word truly, verily, I want to say to you, however you want to phrase it, the word truly suggests a certainty and conviction that bespeaks genuine faith." Don't get discouraged when you think that no one is interested in what you have to say about Jesus. Even though they may appear to have no interest in Jesus to begin with, that will change as the Holy Spirit begins to work in their life. Did hundreds come to Jesus that day? No, just one. Maybe a few more. But certainly not the majority. Most remained uninterested in who Jesus was. So how do you deal with people who have no interest in Jesus? First, live Jesus in front of them. Let them see Jesus in you. Listen, if we curse the way they curse, if we get angry the way they get angry, if we hate the way they hate, there's no difference between us and them. Why would they want our Jesus? Live Jesus in front of them. Secondly, pray for them. Father, forgive them. Thirdly, remember that it's God's work to change hearts and lives. And then realize that some will respond. When Jesus walked down the road to Golgotha, beaten, bleeding, more dead than alive, some people stopped to watch and stare. Other people tried to get on with their lives, not happy about being inconvenienced with the noisy, ugly procession that was going by. I don't think that anyone thought that any good could come out of that day. Jesus was going to Calvary to die, but something good came out of that. It was the road to Golgotha that led to the sacrifice. That, as Peter wrote, was ordained by God before the foundation of the world. That sacrifice that made it possible for anyone who would put their faith and trust in Jesus to come into a proper relationship with God the Father. Even some who started that day uninterested in Jesus, by the end of that day, had placed their faith in him as the Son of God. There are people, even among the uninterested, who will be changed by the man who is condemned to die. The road to Golgotha was not a perfect road. It was lined with imperfect people. But the man who is carrying the cross made the difference. The man who is carrying the cross was the perfect sacrifice for sin. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me, down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. As you've listened this morning to this message, you might fall into the category of the uninterested. You don't spend a lot of time, if any, thinking about Jesus, who he is, why he died, how he relates to you. But can I tell you today that Jesus is the one and the only one who can make a permanent difference in your life? Jesus is the one who can take you from being the uninterested observer on the road to Calvary, who wished the procession would go faster so you could get about your daily life, and he can change you to become a son of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today, whether you're here in the auditorium, whether you're listening on iPad, or you're listening over Facebook Live, I want to encourage you today to meet the man condemned to die. To go to that one who was on the road to Golgotha and ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. That's what it takes to go from being someone who doesn't know anything about Jesus, who has no relationship with God, to becoming a son of God and a worshiper of Jesus. I want to pray for you this morning. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, for anyone who is listening today who really has no time for Jesus, they may not know who Jesus is, or they might know something about Jesus, but they don't care who Jesus is. Lord, I pray that today you would change their hearts and their lives. I have to ask, Lord, for your forgiveness for us as Christians, because we have not always lived Jesus in front of people very well. And so forgive us and help us this week to purpose to live Jesus in front of people who need to know about Jesus. Touch hearts and lives by your Spirit, for only you can do a work in hearts and lives today. In Christ's name, amen.